You can see the battlements above the treetops.
Oh, yes.
It's in the clearing ahead.
After a minute's more walking, they came out in an open, grassy space. A stream ran across it, and on the far side of the stream stood a squat, square tower with very few and narrow windows and one heavy-looking door in the wall that faced them. Tyrion looked sharply this way and that to make sure that no enemies were in sight. Then he walked up to the tower door and fished up a bunch of keys which he wore inside his hunting dress on a narrow silver chain. The lock was stiff, but at last the key turned and the door swung open with a sudden creak.
Welcome, friends. I fear this is the best palace that the King of Narnia can now offer to his guests.
Don't think of it.
I'm sure it will be very nice.
As a matter of fact, it was not particularly nice. It was rather dark and smelt damp. There was only one room in it, and this room went right up to the stone roof. A wooden staircase in one corner led up to a trapdoor by which you could get out onto the battlements. There were a few rude bunks to sleep in and a great many lockers and bundles. There was also a hearth, which looked as if nobody had lit a fire in it for a great many years.
We better go out and gather some firewood first thing, hadn't we?
Not yet. We must have weapons before we venture out again. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful. I've always been careful to have these garrison towers inspected once a year. Bows, bowstrings, swords, spears, armor. Aha!
What is it?
That's funny-looking mail, sire.
Aye, lad. No Narnian dwarf made that. It is mail of Calorman, outlandish gear. I've ever kept a few suits of it in readiness, for I never knew when I or my friends might have reason to walk unseen in the Tisrock's land. And look on this stone bottle. In this, there is a juice, which when we have rubbed it on our hands and faces, will make us the same colour as the Calormans.
A disguise! I love disguises.
Here, we'll rub some on now. Mm-hmm. Be thorough. Mm-hmm. And after this is dried on, we may wash in water and it will not change. Nothing but oil and ashes will make us our own colours again. And now, sweet Jill, let us go see how this mail shirt becomes you. It's something too long. Not so much as I feared. Doubtless it belonged to a page in the train of one of their Tarkans.
They put on the Calorman mail shirts and then the helmets, which were round and fitted tight to the head and had a spike on top. Tyrion took long rolls of some white stuff out of the locker and wound them over the helmets till they became turbans, but the little steel spike still stuck up in the middle. He and Eustace took curved Calorman swords and little round shields. There was no sword light enough for Jill, but he gave her a long, straight hunting knife, which might do for a sword at a pinch.
Right.
Hast thou any skill with the bow, maiden?
Oh, nothing worth talking of. Eustace isn't bad.
Don't you believe her, sire. We've both been practicing archery ever since we got back from Narnia last time, and she's about as good as me now. Mm. Not that either of us is much.
Then here is a bow and quiver full of arrows for you.
Oh, thank you.
And now, about lighting that fire.
Oh, I wish I'd brought some tea.
Or cocoa.
Some mulled wine would not have been amiss. But there is no point in longing after what we do not have. We should each choose a bunk and sleep while we can. Then we will practice our archery and fighting skills with the Calorman weapons.
Yes.
Hold the arrow thus. Full length of the bow. Good shot. Higher.
Tyrion was surprised to find that Jill's archery skills were really not too bad.
Better still.
Then he tried to teach Eustace how to use his sword and shield. Eustace had learned quite a lot about sword fighting on his earlier adventures, but that had been all with a straight Narnian sword. He'd never handled a curved Calorman scimitar, and that made it hard, for many of the strokes are quite different. And some of the habits he'd learned with the longsword had now to be unlearned again. But Tyrion found that Eustace had a good eye and was very quick on his feet. Both children seemed to be already much stronger and bigger and more grown up than they had been when he first met them a few hours ago. It's one of the effects which Narnian air often has on visitors from our world.
So we're agreed then. We'll travel by night back to Stable Hill to rescue Jewel. After that, if we succeed, we'll try to get away eastward and meet the little army which Runewit the Centaur should be bringing from Caer Paravel.
Agreed.
Yes.
We'll go due north from here. By good fortune, 'tis a starry night, and it will be much shorter than our journey this morning. For then we went round about, but now we shall go straight. If we're challenged, then you two hold your peace. And I will do my best to talk like a cruel, proud Lord of Calormen. If I draw my sword, then thou, Eustace, must do likewise.
Yes.
And let Jill leap behind us and stand with an arrow on the string.
Right.
But if I cry home, then fly for the tower, both of you. And let none try to fight on, not even one stroke, after I've given the retreat. Such false valour has spoiled many notable plans in the wars. And now, friends, in the name of Aslan, let us go forward.
Let's.
Right.